Reading for our lesson this morning will come from the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we'll begin in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
That's what you get when you ask somebody who's not quite almost always prepared to try to do something. Mike called me last night late and asked me if I would present a lesson because he wasn't feeling well. And I said, okay, I'll do the best I can. One of the many songs that we sing are designed to admonish and to teach. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. One of these songs is Angry Words. Oh, Let Them Never. It was written by D.K. Palmer, and the melody was arranged by Will H. Slatter. And in the Hymns for Worship, it's song 394, which we just got done singing, and I asked Josh if he would lead that song because of this lesson, entitled Love One Another. It's a favorite of many. It is a song with valuable advice in our dealings with one another as members of God's family, warning against disrupting friendships and love through unthoughtful use of the tongue. In both verses 1 and 3, the focus is on the need to bridle the tongue. The tongue is very powerful. It is difficult to control. It has been the power to control the whole body. If we go to the book of James, and I've lost the book of James. There it is. In chapter 3, verses 2 through 5, it says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths so that they may obey us. And we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, though they are so large, and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. So the tongue is a very powerful thing, and it has control. It can control us, for it reflects the true expression of the inward man. If we take a look at the book of Matthew, and you go to the 12th chapter in verses 34 and 35, it says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, and an evil man, of evil treasure, brings forth evil things. It is the power to do good and to do evil, to turn away wrath or to stir up anger. And the book of Proverbs has a lot of things that we can grab onto, and we can And we've just got done studying a lot of the things in the book of Proverbs. In chapter 15, in verse 1, it says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." So it can turn away wrath if we do it rightly. To use knowledge wisely or to pour forth foolishness. In verse 2, the tongue is of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. To be a tree of life or a breaker of spirits. In verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Angry words will let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the hearts bless impulse ever, check them ere they soil the lip. Those are very poignant words. Those are words that we can grab onto and we can take, and if we do things correctly, we can apply these things to our lives. The advantages of restraint. First of all, we can avoid sin. In Proverbs chapter 10, and in verse 19, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." So we need to keep our mouth shut at times. It keeps us out of trouble. In Proverbs chapter 21, and verse 23, "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles." Makes one appear wise. You go back to chapter 17 and verses 27 and 28. "He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive." Uncontrolled tongues can destroy friendships. Poorly chosen words, unthoughtful and rashly spoken words can make even the closest of friendships become enemies. In Psalms 55, and when I was looking at this today, this is powerful. "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man of my equal, my companion, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng." If a man turns against another man and issues angry words against him, it'll break a friendship. They'll become enemies. And we can see that from what it said here in Psalms. The fact that it was from a close acquaintance, and that drove them apart. Angry words are lightly spoken. Bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred. Brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. Well, then how shall we use the tongue? It's for good, if for good, our words can be sweet to the soul. You go to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24. "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. It's a thing of beauty, like apples of gold and the settings of silver. And that's exactly what it says in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 11. But if it's for evil, then beware. We will be judged by our words. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. But I say unto you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. We will defile our bodies and our friendships. Going back to James chapter 3 and in verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set against our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. To encourage the proper use of the tongue, the song in verse 2 and the chorus reminds us of the importance of friendship and love, the blessings of a friendship. And some of the most beautiful passages in the Bible were expressions between friends. Ruth's love for her mother-in-law Naomi in Ruth chapter 1. Starting in verses 16 and 17, and Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so also, if anything but death parts you and me." There was a relationship between Naomi and her mother-in-law that was such a great thing. And it's something that we can take a look at. And maybe we need to take and consider those things for ourselves. Jonathan's devotion to his friend David. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, and in verse 1, if I get my Bible to go there. "And now, when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." There's a friendship that sustained itself through everything that happened between them and Jonathan's father, Saul. Jesus' love for his disciple, John. Go to the book of John. In chapter 19, when Jesus was hanging on the cross. And in 25 through 27. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her into his home, his own home." It shows the love between John and Jesus, because John accepted the responsibility for Jesus' mother. And Paul's love for his co-worker, Timothy. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, but mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy." There's a love between Paul and Timothy. Good friends provide wonderful benefits. A true friend is a man who, for all seasons, going back to the book of Proverbs, and in chapter 17 and verse 17, it says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A good friend will love us no matter what. A true friend can be closer than blood relatives. In Proverbs 18 and verse 24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The rebuke of a true friend is of more value than the praise of an enemy. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 6, where it says, faithful are the words of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The advice of a true friend can be precious. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 9. Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. So as we counsel one another, we can have that. Seek to hang on to good friends. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 10, first part of it. Do not forsake your friend or your father's friend. Love is much too pure and holy. Friendship is too sacred far. For a moment's reckless folly, thus to desolate and mar. The need to love one another. Our Savior teaches us to do so. A new commandment, to love as He loved us. In John chapter 13 and verse 34. And 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's stressed again in chapter 15 and in verses 12 and 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And in verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know his master, what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. It is a blessed command. Love will avoid offending others, another with loose words. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Starting with verse 4 and the first part of verse 5. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Does not parade itself, is not puffed up, and does not behave rudely. We can see all these things that love suffers. It's long. Suffers long. It's patient. It's kind. It's not jealous of others' good fortunes. Does not brag about itself. It's not arrogant and not inconsiderate of others' feelings. That's the love that we need to show to one another. Love will not allow loose words offend it. As we read from 5 through B through 8a, does not behave rudely, it says, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but there are prophecies that will fail. Love is not divisive, it's not sensitive. It assumes the best intention. It's more concerned about truth than winning. And it puts up with snide remarks and slights. It gives others the benefit of the doubt. Looks for the best in others, including hurt feelings and unkind or unthoughtful words. And love never fails to show patience, compassion, and forgiveness. Love one another, thus said the Lord. Children, obey his blessed command. What's the conclusion of this? Friendships is too holy to let loose words and reckless moments destroy it, especially between brethren in Christ, whose love is to be a mark of true discipleship. Going back to the book of John in chapter 13 and verse 35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. True love values friendship so highly that it will resolve to say nothing that unnecessarily endangers that friendship. To let nothing that is said, no matter how hurtful, to destroy our friendship. May this song, Angry Words, oh, Let Them Never, serve to remind us of the blessing and the duty that we have regarding our love and friendship as disciples in Christ. Before I go with this last one, I want to tell everyone in this room, I love you. But what I love more is your soul. And that's what we're all about. The love of everyone's soul. We want everyone to be a Christian. We want everyone to love the Lord. We want everyone to have that relationship with Him that we all should have. As Christians, we love even those souls who are outside the body of Christ. I love you as a Christian, and you should love me as a Christian. But the thing is, we need to show love and compassion towards one another and to those who are outside the body of Christ. The Lord has given us these words. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God has given us instructions to teach others. So, this afternoon, we can show our love for God and for Christ. We can show our love for one another. And if, by chance, you have not embraced the teachings of Christ, and have not been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we're going to give you an opportunity to do so. But if you have embraced the teachings of Christ and have been baptized, but have fallen away, we implore you to make confession of those things and bring your life back to Christ. Think on these things together we stand and sing.